Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. All right. Two sources say there's nothing to be worried about. Like, we didn't hear anything all week. And then randomly on a Sunday drop. Now, I know that it's a different week because everything has shifted back a day because of the Monday night game. But it's just like randomly at, 6 o'clock on a Sunday night. It's, hey, by the way. There's an English.
Yeah.
Well,
the Chiefs follow the rules, unlike a lot of these other NFL teams, with the gambling and all this now.
But it
right?
wasn't there on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday. And then Sunday comes along where you haven't heard anything, really. The only thing that we've heard is, well, when this team gets Rashee Rice back, they could be an offensive problem.
Right.
And then it's just, Chiefs receiver Xavier Worthy is now questionable with the shoulder slash ankle injury. And I'm just like, gosh, that I don't like hearing that or like seeing that at the time that I saw it. That's why the worries.
Yeah, I understand that. But I've just gotten to the point now where I am in life. Like, I don't worry about the injury report because I know a lot of it is fabricated and have to be's, more than anything. Like, I give the NFL a lot of credit, right? We're not seeing really in the NFL, Dusty, what we're seeing in some of these other sports. How many NBA players have already been suspended for gambling, right? And kicked out of the league for life? At least a couple, right? What happened in Major League Baseball this year, right? You saw Class A and what happened with him with the gambling, and he hasn't been the only Major League Baseball player, that's been in the muck when it comes to this gambling stuff. The NFL realizes, I think, how much, and we had the one NFL player who was making bets on non-NFL games that got suspended for the entire year a couple of seasons ago, right?
Yeah.
So we're seeing in sports right now, the NFL really embracing the gambling because, look, it's big money for those guys, right? They understand what that is, and so they're really embracing it in the right way. They're dotting all the I's, they're crossing all the T's, they're not leaving a lot of stuff out there to be misinterpreted, and it's better to be on the up and up than it is to do something else, because let's say all of a sudden Worthy didn't play, right, and something did happen, and he wasn't on that injury report. Then there's an investigation by the league, then there's a fine by the league. Why are you hiding this all week? And so it's one of those deals where it's better to be safe than sorry. Yeah, you flew, your ankle swelled up a little bit. You'll be on the ground 28 hours before you even have to, because I think they landed at like 2:30 yesterday, Jacksonville time. The game doesn't start till like 8 o'clock tonight, so you're 24 plus 6, you're 30 hours on the ground. He's going to be okay. But I just think it's the Chiefs being on the up and up and doing the right thing. And then it causes people to kind of panic a little bit. But, once we see the inactives and who's not playing, that's when we can make our determination. I just think Worthy, based on the people that I've spoken to this morning, he's going to be just fine. And he's going to see a big role in this game tonight.
Yeah. This was Derek Johnson earlier on the show talking about how good the Chiefs defense has looked this season.
Really good. Really good. I'm always impressed every year. The last few years, we've been a defensive-led team. And I can honestly just say that just because we've been holding people to minimum points. Our red zone defense is really good. This year hasn't been ideal for us, especially early in the game. We've given up a little bit more than usual. But man, we got all the right pieces. Our DBs, all of them are tough. All of them tackle. That's a big deal. Usually DBs don't like to get dirty. Not all of ours like to get dirty. And it's just, man, our defense, Bags should get more credit. But as we go down the as we go down the stretch, he'll get his. He's just got to gear up, and tonight it starts tonight.
I think it's great to hear Derek Johnson say that out loud. Like, nobody wants to realize that this is a defensive team, right? We're still so focused, as this league is, on the offensive side of things. You are freezing.
Dude, I can't feel my fingers. I'm dead serious.
I can't either.
I will literally put my fingers.
I'm trying to get my hands in the pockets and everything over here. It's like ice cold. I can get an ice bath in here. My nose is freezing. My fingers are freezing. Everything's freezing right now. I don't even know what we were talking. Oh, defensive team. Yeah. Like the narrative has been in this league, offense. And as DJ said, right before our eyes, the last couple of years, this is a defensive led team. Like, it's okay to say that out loud, right? Mm. Like, I know we don't want to, we still think this is an offensively driven team, but it's not an offensively driven team. This is clearly a defensive driven team right now.
It's because of Steve Spagnuolo as well.
Yeah.
How many times over the last 3-4 seasons have we come on here and said the Chiefs don't get pressure unless they send extra guys? They don't blitz. Hey, where is the sack production coming from, the pressure production outside of Chris Jones? Steve Spagnuolo he's doing this at such a high level, and defenses in the NFL usually are more cyclical than this. Usually after a year or two on top, they sort of trend back down, mm-hmm. and the Chiefs have stayed there. It's a real testament to Steve Spagnuolo.
I think we will see just how dialed in this defense is on how they stop the run.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because 100%. That is Jacksonville's biggest strength, and that is the Chiefs' biggest weakness. The Chiefs give up 127 yards on the ground per week. That is 22nd in the NFL. They give up a total of 321 yards. That is 11th. They only give up 185 passing yards. That is 7th. And they only give up 19 points per game. That is solo 5th. They don't necessarily let teams convert on third down. They 34% on defense, giving up third downs. That's 6th best in the NFL. You talk about how they're not an offensive team. Mostly in every category, they are on the other side of the second half, right? Total yards, they rank 18th. Passing yards, they rank 14th. Rushing yards, they rank 21st.
That high?
Yeah. Points per game, they rank 15th. And third down conversion, they're 18th. Now we know on fourth down conversion, they're like number one in the NFL.
Right.
And I think when you look at what Jacksonville does, they like to turn the ball over on defense and they like to run the ball on offense. Mm-hmm. Again, they have played not the greatest schedule. Cincinnati, Houston, these teams that really aren't that great when it comes to the game. They played a San Francisco team that's been obliterated with injuries. Now, that team just beat the Rams. That was a division game. This was a interleague game, per se, from NFC AFC last week when they beat the Niners. But Mitch Holtis said that the Jags have not played a quarterback like Mahomes, and it should show.
No, but they've attacked the ball. If you look at the video, they're getting it all different ways. It's not just some buffoon quarterback throwing it right to Devin Lloyd who's standing there in zone coverage. They're tipping passes. They're hugging receivers. They're just so aware of the ball. Some teams are like this. They look to strip it every snap. Mm-hmm. Or they think, hey, I've told you guys before, the most devastating defensive play that shows up as a PD in the stat sheet but is really a huge impactful play is a deflected pass. Guys will be open 20 yards down the field, whoop, knocked down, didn't make it there. And offensive coordinators throw their iPad up in disgust. Or a pass that's mid-route that I deflect or affect the physics of the throw, then all of a sudden become a deflect pass interception. When this defense is this fast and this quick, and the fact that they track the ball so hard that they'll make a play no matter who the quarterback is. So Pat becomes turn the cannon on them, right? So Pat's velocity, Pat's decision-making, Pat's ability to see, I'll use your quickness against you with this play call and watch me react and counter-react to what you do, yes, is a plus-plus in this situation.
What he's saying about Patrick Mahomes is kind of making me smile because I'm picturing it right now. Patrick knows what that defense is going to do before they know that they're going to do that. That's where the difference is between Patrick Mahomes and everybody else that they played. And you keep going back to this stat, which I find remarkable every single time that you say it. Patrick Mahomes only has one interception this year, mm-hmm. and it's off of Travis Kelce's hands, right? And technically, this season, Patrick Mahomes should have zero interceptions, right? Because he has been outstanding all season long, except for the one throw to Kelce that he tipped up in the air and Philadelphia recovered and was able to get their interception off it. That's why I like this going into this game, because we have seen a season so far where Patrick Mahomes, quite frankly, Dusty, hasn't made a mistake yet this season, right? He's four games into this thing. We're getting game five tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a banged up, you know, receiving core. He's had running backs that he hasn't been able to rely upon. He's had an offensive line that at times, I don't know what's going on out there. And he still has only made zero mistakes on this season. Like, he is having a remarkable, remarkable season from that standpoint. And that's why when I see a team like Jacksonville that relies on that turnover so much, and a team like the Chiefs that just don't give the ball away, that's why I really like the Chiefs in this one. I know you got to go out there and kind of make turnovers happen, but a lot of times it's the carelessness that these other teams play with that forces those turnovers. The Chiefs aren't a careless team out there with the football. Like, you're not going to see a guy drop the ball before the goal line and cost your team points like we saw in Arizona yesterday.
Giving the Chiefs defensive stats, these are the Jacksonville Jaguars stats when it comes to defense. Total yards, they're 14th in the NFL, giving up about 329 yards a game. When it comes to passing yards allowed, this is the one that sticks out. They're 23rd in the NFL. They give up 233.5 a game.
Wow.
They're going to let you throw it,
right?
And then we've already talked about the quarterbacks they've played.
Yeah.
And those quarterbacks are still throwing the ball in Jacksonville.
Right.
They do not allow running. They will stop the run. And
right.
The Chiefs don't run. So, again, take that as it may. You know, use your running backs in the passing game to kind of open up the deep ball. They only give up 82.8 yards a game on the ground. That's third best in the NFL. They only give up 18 points a game. Again, Bryce Young, those, you know, the struggling Texans at the time, that's fourth best in the NFL. And then you look at third down conversion rate. They're giving up a third down 45.6% of the time.
Wow.
That's not good.
That's not good. You can move the ball on third downs on
exactly.
these guys.
Yeah. You might have to worry about going for it on fourth down. Again, weather, thunderstorms likely this morning, then chance of scattered thunderstorms throughout the afternoon, a high of 83, winds at 10 to 20, and a chance of rain 100% throughout the day, but it looks like it dissipates throughout the evening. So,
which again, is good for the offense of the Chiefs. You know, you want to throw the ball.
Like we have said, I don't think weather is going to be the issue. Yeah. I do want to come back on the other side and get to see what Nate Taylor had talked to us about on Friday. But don't forget, you can count on much. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL and CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL games every Sunday live all season long. Start at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We go back to Nate Taylor of ESPN on the other side to talk about this Chiefs and Jacksonville Jaguars game. Continued on a Monday morning here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. According to October 6, 2025, the Baltimore Ravens still have the best odds to win the AFC North.
That is nuts.
According to FanDuel, minus 105, the Pittsburgh Steelers plus 130 to win the AFC North. So if you want free money, feel free. Cincinnati plus 1100, Cleveland Browns plus 1700, and a sad smiley face next to it.
I don't understand how Baltimore is still the favorite to win that. What did you say to me, Dusty? The AFC North has one win in the last two weeks or something like that. It was Pittsburgh's win over there in London.
Yeah,
in
last
Ireland.
2 weeks, the Ravens 0-2, Browns 0-2, Cincinnati 0-2, Pittsburgh has the one win.
And they were off this week.
That's nuts. They had their bye.
It's legitimately, can you finish above 500? That's the question for which team wins that division. Now, under Mike Tomlin, the answer has been yes for Pittsburgh. Baltimore, they're probably looking at 1-5 going into the bye. We'll see if Lamar plays.
Who do they have this week?
The Rams. If Cooper Rush is in the game against the Rams, I'm chalking them up as 1-5. And this is a crazy league. I'm saying they're 1-5. So can Lamar get healthy in the bye, come back, and rattle off 8 out of 10? I mean,
what do you guys think it is? Why Baltimore is still the favorite in the North? Do you think it's because of default? I mean, like, we're not ready to go with Pittsburgh and Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, Cleveland's a dumpster fire, and the other team, you know, in that division is a dumpster fire as well. Like, take Ohio out of the mix, and you're looking at Pittsburgh versus Baltimore for that division right now. And if Baltimore loses this weekend and they fall to 1-5, I don't think they're going to reel off, you know, 10 straight wins and get to 11-5. They might. I mean, the Chiefs did it at one point in time, but I don't know that I have that faith in the Baltimore Ravens. They feel like a team right now to me who is in the final year of Andy Reid in Philadelphia. It feels like that 2012 season in Philadelphia where everything went wrong and it was just time to move on and time to have a new voice and all that kind of stuff. Mm. And I think that's where Baltimore is right now. John Harbaugh's been there a long time and Andy was there a long time, you know, in Philadelphia. And sometimes it's just time for a new voice. It's time to move on. And I just kind of feel like that's where I am with Baltimore at this point in time. I don't know what you guys feel about it, but that's where I am right now.
According to Ian Rapoport, they're going to try to ride the ship into the bye week. So it sounds like from what he's reporting is that it'll be Cooper Rush again this week against the Rams. They get a bye week, and then they get the Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, Bengals. And then Steelers, Bengals, Patriots, Packers, Steelers. Mm-hmm. So if they can somehow sneak away a win against the Rams this week, go into the bye at, 2-4, come back with Lamar, beat the Bears, go to 3-4, beat the Dolphins, get to 500 at 4-4.
Yeah, you could,
then all of a sudden you have a whole new revamped season. If you'd like Nathan said, get to 500.
Yeah.
There's probably reasons why. I think you also look at quarter play in the division. It's Dylan Gabriel, who played pretty well for the Browns. Jake Browning until Burrow's back.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, who's now the best quarterback in the division with Lamar being out. And then there's Lamar Jackson, who they think will be back and be better than everybody that's available in that AFC North. Mm-hmm. Who'd have thought that there's the possibility to have two AFC South teams in the playoffs this year and one AFC North team?
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy to think of it that way.
There's only going to be one team out of the East.
Yeah.
Jets ain't making the playoffs. Dolphins ain't making the playoffs.
Patriots might. Maybe there's two. Yeah, maybe the Patriots, because I think they're the seventh seed right now if the season were to end today, right? I think we're probably only going to get one North team out there. We may get two. I think we're only going to get two in the West now, if that, right? I think it's the winner, and you know we'll see. You know, you mentioned to me earlier, Omarion Hampton's now injured, right?
Ankle injury.
So we don't know what that's going to be like, you know, with them out there in L.A. You've already lost, you know, a lot on the offensive line, and now you've lost a running back. You could potentially lose another running back, you know, if you're out there. It seems like things are starting to fall apart a little bit in San Diego. Denver, obviously, with the big win yesterday, but even with that big win yesterday, which I saw a Denver media member say that's the biggest win the Broncos have had since Super Bowl 50. Think about that. I mean, think about that. Super Bowl 50 was 10 years ago, guys.
I think Broncos fans will tell you that game that Mahomes was sick in a few years ago when they beat the Chiefs for the first time in 9 years was probably bigger to them.
Maybe.
But in terms of significance, who they beat and what it did for their playoff odds, yeah, it was a huge win yesterday for
the
Broncos.
But my point is, did you gain any kind of confidence about, like, did you feel like, oh, my God, Denver's really good? Or did you just look at that and go, man, Philadelphia's got to get some things figured out more than Denver being good? Because Philadelphia's basically been what the Chiefs were from a season ago, finding ways to win games that most people thought they probably shouldn't. And now it finally caught up to them. I'm interested to see where Philadelphia goes from here.
Well, they get Jackson Dart and your Giants on Thursday Night Football next week. So we'll see. Like, can they be the surprise team that, because that'll be what, a 9.5-point spread?
I don't know.
And we'll take New York. Well, that's what we'll do with that.
Yeah, probably.
Nate Taylor joined the show on Friday, and he said something about, you know, the run game. Like, will the Chiefs finally run the ball? We did the stats
Giants
earlier.
Are a 7-point dog.
Wow, okay. That's it.
Well, the Chiefs are a 1.5-point favorite against the Lions on Sunday night already.
I believe that. I believe that's, because the Chiefs are going to potentially win their next three games. They're going to have their offense kind of a little bit more familiar. So and they're the home team.
Mm-hmm. But even still, I mean, like, Detroit played great yesterday. I know at the end it got a little close. I just figured going into this game, the odds makers would favor the Lions in this one.
Yeah, I think with it being an Arrowhead and the Chiefs kind of looking more familiar.
Yep.
I bet that line moves, too, more towards the Chiefs as well.
Like,
I bet it might be 2.5 Chiefs by the time that game kicks off on Sunday. This is Nate Taylor, and if the Chiefs will run the ball more.
Yeah, the Chiefs need to be a little bit more balanced, and it would be helpful if they got, you know, more production and more consistency out of Isaiah Pacheco. But the fact that you have the speed and the breaking tackles ability of Breshard Smith, I think you have to sort of bring him along a course throughout the season. That's something Andy Reid basically acknowledged, is that, like, hey, this guy is fast. He's got receiver skills. The more we play him in, you know, October, November, the more beneficial it could be in terms of just having a more dynamic ability at the running back position in November. And of course, you know, what the team hopes to have in January, because, you know, Xavier Worthy even in that 35-yard end round, based on what he showed, it's like, well, you have to respect that speed, both vertically and horizontally now. And I've always said this before, like, Rashee Rice, when he comes back in a couple weeks, he was always an extension of the running game too, because that's where those, you know, behind the line of scrimmage passes went. And we know how good, you know, Rashee Rice can be in the open field with a little bit of blockers in front of him. So the running game should be a little bit more versatile, a little bit more, have some more explosiveness to it. And man, if the offense is this efficient already, and I just want people to realize this, like, you're watching a top 10 offense, even though it doesn't feel like it right now.
Yes.
And Isaiah Pacheco could play better, right? Kareem Hunt, I think, is doing just fine as like a third down short yardage running back, but they can get more out of Pacheco and they can bring Breshard Smith along the way as well.
Saw an uptick in Breshard Smith's offensive snaps last week. They looked to get him involved early. It was Pacheco with the receiving touchdown in the backfield later on in the game, but it was Breshard Smith who led the way with 19, you know, offensive snaps. Now, I know I have to be honest with this. Four of those came in garbage time with Gardner Minshew as the quarterback. So 15 offensive snaps at the running back position is an uptick. That didn't leap, but that, like, that's what you're seeing, and we're hearing them say they want to get this cat involved. The one thing that Jacksonville does do is they do stop the run. The one thing the Chiefs don't do is run the ball. So I'm interested to see where that is, because we hear Nate Taylor, who covers that team every single day, every single minute, it's telling us they do want to incorporate the run against this team.
Well, I think there are a lot of people that want to incorporate the run with the team. The question is does Andy Reid want to incorporate the run with the team? Because at the end of the day, he has the final say. You know, you can put together the best laid plans and say, we really want to emphasize the run. But if Andy Reid doesn't feel like it on that day, well, then there goes the run. But I think it's time. I think there was a big corner turned in that game, I feel like, against, you know, Baltimore. And really probably the second half a little bit against the Giants, where the running game kind of got going and kind of opened Andy's eyes a little bit. And then you saw what Breshard Smith can do. And then putting that sixth offensive lineman in there. And really, you know, I say it a lot, Dusty, you know, the job as the coach is to put the players in position to be successful. I think this offensive line may be a better run blocking line than it is a pass blocking line. And so let those guys go up there and get in the trenches and move the line of scrimmage a couple of yards and let those running backs feast, especially, you know, in a game today where, you know, if it does rain, it could potentially have an impact on the pass game. And you want to have the ability to have a good running game. They've got the players out there to do it. It's just them getting the ability to do it and the coach calling that running play to put those guys in position. I still want to see more out of this running game.
Chiefs in Jacksonville tonight, and this is a big opportunity type of game.
Yeah, it's a huge opportunity for a number of reasons. Number one, for the Chiefs right now, you have an opportunity to play in front of the nation, as I like to say, Monday Night Football. It hits different when you have these standalone games, because I think when you play on a Sunday afternoon, everything gets lost, right? In the messaging on Sunday, there's so many games going on. I don't think people watch it clearly enough and truly see what this team is all about. So all of the people who have been kind of down on the Chiefs and hating the Chiefs after week two, Spectre, you can go watch this team in a standalone game on Monday night and truly see what they're all about. And with Worthy back, I think is big too, because I think you're going to see a lot of eyes finally opened around the national media when the Chiefs go out there and perform well, where they're sitting there going, okay, I guess this team is back, right? I guess this team is here. They never went anywhere. It's an opportunity to show, I think, as well, how good the defense is. Derek Johnson talked about it. We heard from him, obviously, this hour about the defense, and this is a defensive first team. I don't think people around the country who watch football understand that this is a hell of a defense that this team has. I sometimes don't think people in Kansas City realize how good a defense is. Yeah, we'll probably give up a score on the first drive to Jacksonville, because that's what they always do, and then they'll tighten the screws and they'll figure it out, and the rest of the way there'll be a field goal here and a late touchdown, and that'll be it for Jacksonville. It's an opportunity to have a winning record now, right? You started 0-2. Everybody's losing their minds. Oh my God, what's going to happen? You have an opportunity to go out there and win today, get a winning record, keep pace in the West as well with everybody else sitting at 3-2 at this point in time. And I think it's an opportunity offensively to put together a great game plan and show that it just wasn't the get healthy Ravens that you had a good offensive performance against. It's an opportunity to go out there and put together a good offensive performance for the second full game third game in a row because the second half of that Giants game was really good from an offensive standpoint. I think that was the turning point when we look back at the season. When did it turn? Halftime of the Giants game will be something that we talk about a lot. And I just think the offense now has that opportunity to show against a different team that they are still this Chiefs offense that you need to be worried about. I just think it's a big time to have a statement game tonight for the Chiefs.
It's week five. It's, you know, you got a full month, I guess, underneath your belt with the season. Mm-hmm. The gelling should start to solidify.
Absolutely.
I'm interested to see what team, what unit looks more gelled in this game, the D-line or the O-line.
Mm-hmm.
I really think the O-line has a way to, like, prove that they can do this, because if they do want to incorporate the run against a team that stops the run, seeing that team be able to have that force up front, knowing that now Mahomes does have the trust, the feet don't get quick, he doesn't move out too quickly.
I mean, you saw that on Sunday, didn't you?
It's crazy.
I mean, wasn't it interesting to watch him in that pocket last Sunday against the Ravens? It looked totally different, man.
Completely pick you apart. And I think that's interesting. I also think the defensive line, if it is gelled, Carl Loftus looked great against the Ravens, mm-hmm. right? Sacked Lamar, sacked Lamar Jackson three times in that game. Carl Loftus, a big one on a third down. That's what I like. Bring it home on third down. See if Chris Jones can get back to elite status that he's always been in a game where he can just be dominant, where it's he's batting balls down, he's sacking Trevor Lawrence. I do think Chris Jones will get a sack in this game. I think he's due for one. He has one on the season. He's due for number two.
He's due. Yeah.
For that as well. But again, I think that I'm interested to see which unit gels more solidified to me in this game. I'm also interested to see, like, who's the other guy besides Worthy? Because who was that guy in the game when they played at the Ravens? It was kind of like everybody.
It was everybody, right? Yeah.
And I think there is a guy that, you know, Mitch Holtis considers the door hinge. This was him for about 2 minutes talking about how Juju makes this offense click.
And not only, but he has a bigger impact when he does not touch the ball.
Mm.
Now, what's cool, Dusty, is that all four of the red zone touchdowns last week, and I love it that they're all in the red zone, because we know we're going to get some big ones, the Tyquan Thornton over the top plays, but getting in the red zone four times. The other good news, four different receivers. The other good news, four different looks. This wasn't the same kind of look. This is four different things that a defense has to account for. Do you realize all four were affected by Juju Smith-Schuster? Now, he caught the first one in the underneath route you were talking about, and Patrick was able to thread the needle, so to speak.
Yeah, what was the exit velo on that throw?
My God.
Yeah, like the dude last night throwing for the Yankees at 100, like Bustin Black.
Yep.
With 105, you know, Mizorowski. But the other three were all influenced by Juju. Every one of them. And I didn't realize this till I go back and watch the video. And I saw Juju yesterday, and I said, okay. I watched. He goes, you notice it? Yeah. So he's so smart that where he can, of course, set picks, legal picks, wink, wink, nod, nod, that doesn't look like OPI. That's a art form, okay? And he's really good at it. Guys bust open because, oh, hey, I'm just a caveman. I'm going to run my route right here. The other one is he's so smart in the way he adjusts his route, he can influence the coverage. Let's take the Hollywood Brown play.
Mm-hmm.
He influences the coverage enough where he gets the safety occupied, and that allows Brown to have man-to-man over the top on the over route. Well, the safety's not back there lurking around because where Juju runs his route, Juju knows where to run his route. Okay, maybe I'm going to be open as your fourth option, Pat. Zip it in here to 105 miles an hour. But my main job here is to influence the safety so that we can get Hollywood Brown to go over the top. Juju Smith-Schuster has become increasingly valuable to this team week by week by week, whether he touches the ball or not.
So that's Mitch Holtis there, your voice of the Chiefs that you can hear starting at 4 o'clock tonight as the Chiefs Radio Network takes over Josh Briscoe with the pregame show and postgame show. And then Mitch, Danen, and Kling will all be on as
I-Y-K-Y-K.
Well.
I-Y-K-Y-K.
That's right. If you know, you know. And 6-7. Anyways, I won't haunt you on a Monday. But I do like that sort of thing that Juju's kind of playing the role of the pawn, because one of the things that we said in this whole thing with Xavier Worthy back is like, are they going to use him as like a decoy on the field because they know what his speed is? No, they're going to actually use him The decoy the whole time is Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Juju Smith-Schuster is the 6'7" on this. I mean, like when you think about it, like he's just going out there and he's just there. You don't really know what he's doing, but when he does it, you're like, oh my God, Juju's fantastic, you know, in that role. And that's that veteran role. And I don't want my number two or number one wide receivers, you know, doing that sort of role.
Right.
But your number five, your number four wide receiver, your guy who's been around forever that knows the tricks of the trade, so to speak, as Mitch talked about, that's the guy that I want doing that. And those are the little things that happen on this football team that maybe some of these other teams don't have the opportunity to do, don't know how to do, have guys that won't do it. You got a guy that's, you know, been in the league, what, 10 years now, Juju Smith-Schuster's been on a couple of different teams, came back to Kansas City, and is filling his role. Like, wide receivers don't normally just go to a situation and become a blocker or become a guy who sets a pick or a guy who's looking to do other things other than catch the football like Juju Smith-Schuster is doing. And to have him and that ability to do that game in and game out, play in and play out, is just huge for this organization. And also, too, you know, Mitch kind of touched on that at the beginning, was the red zone success that they had last week against Baltimore. And he's right about that. We've talked for years. The red zone is like death zone for this team. I'd rather have them have first and 30 than, you know, second and one, because I don't trust them to get that yard. I trust them to get 30, but one, oh my God. So the red zone has been a house of horrors for the Chiefs over the last couple of years. It was good to see them become effective inside that red zone. Those are your big Bob Tonyan type plays and your Travis Kelce type plays, your tight end Noah Gray, and those are your big body type plays. You need to have them effective inside the red zone, and it worked last week.
Yeah, this is, you know, where you have the options of like, who do you, because, you know, Tyquan Thornton, Xavier Worthy comes back, caught the touchdown, but that was really it.
Yeah,
didn't have to use that deep threat. And with you letting us know with your couple people that you've talked to, Xavier Worthy will be fine.
He's gonna
be good to go. You know, how they use him, I would think, is similar to how they used him last week, because until you can stop it, we're going to continue to do it. Whether we give him a, you know, jet sweep, whether they give him a RPO option where Mahomes can either, you know, give it to him, or you know how that play works.
Right.
And then he takes off for 15 yards, or is it the every once in a while we're going to sprinkle in the can you stop his speed and Mahomes gets that confident? That's why it's interesting to me when you go back and look at this game and think, or go forward and think about this game and tell yourself, okay, is the offensive line going to be the one that is like, okay, this team is here, this unit is officially arrived, or is it going to be the defensive side? Because you could make Trevor Lawrence make mistakes.
Right.
If Patrick Mahomes makes mistakes, more often than not, it's because someone else didn't do their job.
Exactly. Yep.
And you love that, whereas like Trevor Lawrence, when he makes mistakes, it's more so a errant throw, or it's, you know, he still didn't read something correctly. And the other thing that's big about this game tonight is we always lean on Spags, and in Spags you trust, and all that sort of stuff. This is a game where there's going to be two plays, where there's going to be a blitz from the slot where you're not going to see it coming, and it's going to be either McDuffie or it's going to be somebody that is there, whether it's Roland Wallace, whether it's whoever it may be. Chamari Connor could be that guy. Jaden Hicks could be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also going to be a play on offense where it's going to be somebody that you might not have thought, whether it's in a moment where it's first and 10 from the 35-yard line pop over the top to Thornton, or there's that Hollywood Brown play that we've waited for where he's streaking across the middle of the field, Mahomes hits him in stride, and he takes it for 40 yards, and all of a sudden you flip the field within one play.
It's funny you bring up Hollywood Brown, because I was looking at his number on Underdog, and I thought it was significantly higher than I thought it probably should be with Hollywood Brown. Let me get to the number. 41.5 receiving yards for Hollywood Brown tonight. That's a lot, I thought, right? That's a big number. I would lean towards lower than the 41.5, but now you got me thinking maybe I want to go higher, because you're right. If you hit him across the field and he runs, you know, for 20-some yards, you get half of that on one play.
I like Kelce a lot tonight, too.
I do, too.
I just think that it's kind of been a couple of weeks where he's had to necessarily do a lot, and this is one of those games where it's like, how you feeling? I feel great, man. It was my birthday yesterday. Like,
I'm a Redwood.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's one of those things where it's like, hey, let's let you set the tone early, and then they start to gravitate towards the middle, and then that's where you get your shots out the field. And I think they can use Kelce in that regard there, because I still am a firm believer. I take, you know, what the Chiefs show us and what Kling has told me for years, they're not running the ball.
Right.
Like, they're going to use running. They're not running the ball. Like, I know they're not going to run the ball. So how they beat people is by letting you know they can bait you in the passing game. I love Travis Kelce's over-under on receptions. It's 4.5, at least on DraftKings that I saw. I think it's over that. I think he can get 5. I don't know if it's one of those like seven catches, 95 yards and a touchdown. You would love the touchdown.
I love it.
But I think it's one of those games where they can ticky-tack him early, where it's, you know, third and two, Travis Kelce for seven, second and four, Travis Kelce for six. You know,
kind of like he did last week against Baltimore.
And that maybe was a perfect ramped Travis up a little game. Bit more.
Yeah, get in the end zone.
I think his matchup is better against this Jacksonville defense. A matchup that's tough is Abuka and Gronkowski. I'll explain what that means. Plus, we get to our brioche of the weekend on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Rocking and rolling, final segment on the show here today on The Fan, 96.5 The Fan. Per Ian Rappaport, Xavier Worthy expected to play. Travon Walker is more likely than not to be unavailable for the
really?
Game.
Really? That's interesting. I always look at a banged up wrist for a lineman like, that's a weapon, man. Use that thing as a club. So I'm glad he's not potentially playing tonight.
The defensive end who had the surgery on the wrist earlier last week. A lot of injuries that went down in the NFL yesterday. The big one in the AFC West, obviously, Amarian Hampton with that ankle injury. Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on that as the Chargers have lost two in a row. Speaking of losses, Gronkowski lost all control on this one.
But Baker Mayfield also did it without his number one wide receiver, Mike Evans. And you got to give credit to this rookie sensation wide receiver out of Ohio State, Emeka Egbigbu, going for over 100 yards. Emeka Egbuka. I'm getting confused.
There you
going.
Lean into it, Gronk.
Once again.
So good, you got to hear it twice.
But Baker Mayfield also did it without his number one wide receiver, Mike Evans. And you got to give credit to this.
He's
rookie sensation wide receiver out of Ohio State, Emeka Egbigbu, going for over 100 yards. Emeka Egbuka. I'm getting confused.
There you
going
go.
Lights out once again.
Why not again?
But Baker Mayfield also did it without
he's
his
really
number
going.
One wide receiver,
he's got the college,
Mike Evans. And you
got
to give credit to this rookie sensation wide receiver out of Ohio State, Emeka Egbigbu, going for over 100 yards. Emeka Egbuka. I'm getting confused.
There you
going
go.
Lights out once again.
And then Mike Tirico went full Kevin Harlan because Josh Allen threw a pass into the crowd. Fan caught it and decided to deuce up out of there.
Josh turns and throw it away. His catch there. He's gone. Milano. Milano's going to go. He's in row 10. He's in row 15. He might get a beer. Milano, where are you going, man? It's your moment. Milano, row 40, led by Allen. He's going to take it the distance. Maybe it wasn't his seat. Maybe he doesn't want to be on TV. He's gone.
He's got a free football moving forward because unless they stopped him at the gate and said, excuse me.
So I was having the conversation, I think, with my kids over the last week or so. They're like, do you get to keep the ball if it goes into the stands? I'm like, I don't really know the answer to that question. Well, apparently the answer is no. They do come and take that ball back. And so that guy wanted to get out of there, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What would you have done in that situation? I'd rather have the ball than see the rest of the game. That's just me at that point in time. That's cool, man. You caught a ball from Josh Allen in the crowd. You ain't ever doing that again. You'll be at plenty of Bills games going forward if you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking the ball and I'm going at that point in time. What are you guys doing?
Week 5 against the Patriots, I'm taking the ball.
Yeah.
I'm taking the ball. But they used to do this even before the balls were chipped up. Like,
I used to sit a lot
with a neighbor of mine who took me to a bunch of games growing up. He and my dad, you know, shared tickets, so we went to a lot of games. And we sat downstairs behind the field goal net, and we everyone always tried to catch the football. And yeah, they always asked for him back. And this is, 20 years ago. Now they've got the chips in them. I don't think you're leaving with that football.
Yeah.
So the fan might have had the right idea.
I also like the fact
that you show up to his house because there's a chip in it.
They may locate it that way. That is true. I never even thought about that. Like, where's the ball? I don't know. Bill's got it over there on 123 any street. Just show up and take it from him.
Hey, what's up, man? You got that football? How do you know?
Remember that ball boy last week it was, I think, in Pittsburgh, who took the balls away from the players and whatnot. And like, it was my goal to get the ball back. That guy's showing up at the house. Or some hired goons are going to show up to try to get this ball back from this guy.
Because did you smell it on the laces, see what it smells like. Every once in a while, it smells like burnt rubber. How hard Josh Allen throws, you just check it out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you hit a fastball, it goes directly back, and the batter smells their bat.
But no, I'd keep the ball. I'd be gone in a heartbeat. Tirico kind of stealing Kevin Harlan's thing, like you said there. But Kevin does it so much better.
Yeah, that's like one of those things where Tirico tried. It is time for the Brioche of the Weekend, presented by Sheet Metal Workers Local Number 2. Vote for the high school football game of the week at PrepsKC.com. And each week, the Sheet Metal Workers will give $750 to both teams' booster clubs. We'll announce the winning game every Friday morning.
Brioche of the Weekend.
Big brioche guy.
Love that. Yeah, yeah. Good take.
Amika Abagabuku.
Did you see Brady on set with him yesterday?
Best
tight end is Hunter Henry. Brady looked tiny next to Gronk, too. Go look at that video of Brady and Gronk next to each other. It looks like Ken Rosenthal trying to take out a cameraman. God, that guy's cringe, by the way. He's not even really good at broadcasting.
Good thing he didn't fight that guy. You just seen what I did to that guy.
Yeah,
what's your brioche of the weekend?
Mine, any parent that hosts the homecoming after party. You guys are saints. I'm just going to leave it at that. If you are a parent and you have volunteered to allow your kids to host the homecoming or the Halloween or whatever after party it is at your house, you are a GD saint.
Mm.
And I love you because you're better than me, because I ain't doing that after a 1 hour and 58 minute window. I will just say the parents that host these after parties are awesome, and you guys deserve sainthood for that.
Nathan, you got a brioche of the weekend?
Yeah, mine goes out to my good friend Andrew and all the staff over at 1587 Prime.
Nice.
Fiance and I got a chance to stop in last night for some cocktails and some appetizers. Now, I'll get out in front of it and say this is not a place that we could have afforded had we not received the hookup, you know, for knowing a guy.
Right.
And so that's the big concern for a lot of folks, and I'm not downplaying that. I will say it's something like we don't have in Kansas City.
What's the cost to go in there? Like, honestly, like what'd you guys drop last night if you just had appetizers and drinks, a couple hundred?
If we would have, so with what we had, if we each had a drink and an appetizer, it would have been about $120 for those four items.
Oh.
So it's out of reach for most people. And like I said, if we didn't know people that work there and receive, you know, gifts, it's not a place we would have gone. It's just not feasible. They are doing it so well, though. The stuff that we had was incredible. The service was fantastic. The music, the acoustics were fantastic.
Like, it's out of the park.
It's a better experience than anything else here in town.
It's the land of make-believe.
Yeah.
But absolutely, kind of that kind of vibe. I don't belong here. I'm right. The least, you know, the most underdressed person here.
Was it crowded
far.
Last night?
Oh, yeah. Every seat was full. Yep.
Yeah, because they booked reservations all the way to, like, the end of November.
End of the year or something.
Yeah. 1587 is in the Lowe's Hotel, by the way, for the text line. It's 785.
It is.
Yeah.
Shout out Kat, Andrew, everybody over there. The staff is doing a great job.
Food was great.
It was fantastic.
What cocktail and appetizer did you go with?
She had the Paris of the Plains.
Huh?
So gin, yuzu, sparkling wine type cocktail. And I had Travis's, the Big Yeti. So a bourbon.
Kind the of big red one you said
fashion.
What?
The Big Yeti.
Oh, the Big Yeti?
Big Red would be fantastic.
It would be.
They should rename that.
It's a smoked old fashioned, though?
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I love a smoked old fashioned. I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. I like the smoky flavors.
You should create a sucker called the smoked old fashioned. Are you a sucker for a sucker? I'm Bob Fesco, and let me talk to you, my friends over at Hy-Vee. They got a smoked old fashioned sucker.
Ooh, that would actually be pretty good.
You never know. I mean, they got suckers. They got other stuff in it these days.
Yes, they do. Scorpions.
Yeah, well, yeah. That is weird. I never understood that.
That's an Arizona thing. Like, they eat that. That's weird. Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting. My brioche of the weekend goes to Stephon Diggs.
Hit big.
Anti-BBL stinky. Rocked the house last night in New England. They
BBL stinky.
They could not stop him last night in Buffalo. I mean, got to play his old team. Obviously, last year, he had an ACL injury in October of last year. And he's already back playing at this, again, back-to-back 100-yard games for Stephon Diggs. That game was bigger than the moment for him last night. He showed up. He showed out 10 for 146, got the game ball, did everything he was supposed to do, kind of played that hero/heel role where you're like, Stephon Diggs, he was great for us. And then you're like, gosh, he's also played for like four teams. So is he technically ours? I mean, he did put up some good numbers in Buffalo with Josh Allen. Clearly was
this
not
is his fourth team. Yeah, Minnesota, Buffalo, Houston, and
and now New England. So it's interesting to know like where that's at, and everybody kind of enjoyed him there until they didn't enjoy him last night. Hey, you enjoy the game tonight. Pre-game starts at 4 o'clock. Go do something nice for somebody today. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay groovy, stay safe. Coming up next, it's Cody Golden Drew from 10 and Hill 2. We'll talk to you tomorrow with those 3-2 Chiefs.
This is Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.